I feel it fade. Your love is fading. I feel it fade. Your love is fading. Woman, I feel it fade. Woman, your touch has gone cold. As if someone else controls your very soul. I fooled myself long as I can feel the presence of another man.
Celebrate because it's another day of living with Rare Earth. We have with us right now Gil Bridges, one of the original founders of Rare Earth. He joins us live here at PMP Network. Gil, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Mark.
You have brought us many, many great songs. All the folks out there know Get Ready, and I Know I'm Losing You, and I Just Want to Celebrate, and a lot of great tunes. And one of the odd things about the group was the connection to Motown, which at the time was kind of unheard of. Tell us a little bit about the beginnings of the band. I guess it would be talking about the Sunliners in Detroit.
Right. We worked in Detroit in clubs around Detroit for 6 years prior to signing with Motown, actually more than 6 years. And a friend of ours happened to be Margaret Gordy's hairdresser and brought her in one time to see us. She really liked us and told other people at Motown about us. They came in and heard us, and we wound up signing with them.
That's a strange story, huh?
Yeah, we were sort of leery of it at first because friends of ours had been there and nothing happened with them because they were white and they were white-sounding groups, and Motown was just promotions for R&B for black, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it didn't work. Well, Rare Earth was they thought we were black, you know, because we built our roots on Motown music for 7 years before we even signed with them.
Now, wasn't the group biracial originally?
No.
It was not? Okay. I thought it was. So you guys were an all-white group signed to Motown, which is unusual in itself.
Right. And when we weren't sure about it at first, but they told us they were opening a new division of Motown, which would be all-white, and they were going to bring in masters from England at the time because we had the British invasion at the time in late 69, so on, or 68, and so they said they didn't have a name for this new division, whatever, and jokingly I said, "I'm Rare Earth," and so they did, and when they said they were going to do that, I made up my mind that Motown really showed a lot of respect for us by doing that, and they were going to really get behind us in this, so it was like a really win-win situation. So we signed, and rest is history.
Well, it's true, and of course, I remember the records on Rare Earth Records, and of course, if you're Motown and you're promoting Rare Earth Records, you better make sure Rare Earth gets some airplay.
Yeah, exactly right.
and they did.
The thing that really made the first record, Get Ready, take off, the whole one side was a Get Ready expanded. Playing it so much in clubs, we kept adding solos, and before you know it, it was 21 minutes long, and people would wait around till the end to hear that song, and the club owners loved it because it kept the people there drinking. So, and then when it finally took off, it started in Washington with a black DJ who happened to listen to the whole thing and put the whole thing on, and it just took off like wildfire. And we heard later on from different DJs they loved the song because it gave them their 20-minute break to go have their smoke and coffee.
Now, how did you go from the Sunliners to Rare Earth, what was it named after?
Originally, we were named the Sunliners. That was named after a car that I had, a Ford Sunliner convertible. And when we got up to sign serious record deals, the first one was with MGM Verve. We had a record out with them in '68.
Mm-hmm.
We thought we need a more hip name because there was like Iron Butterfly and different groups coming up with wild names, and we just thought Sunliners was dated. It wasn't really happening, so we threw up a bunch of names, and Rare Earth came up. I don't even remember who threw it up, but it stuck, and we all liked it, and we kept it.
So now, at the time, I remember reading that Pete Rivera was the drummer, and he was part of the Sunliners as well. The original
right.
band, and he actually left the band sometime during the good times. What happened, and what has happened to him since?
Well, it's a very long story that we couldn't cover in this.
Give me the Reader's Digest version.
The band broke, like most groups do, with the lead singer getting the lead singer syndrome, which I call it.
Mm-hmm.
Where they start believing that they're the whole deal and the band doesn't mean anything. That's basically where it started to break up the band. He wanted to start calling it Pete Rivera and Rare Earth, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And we felt, no. You know, we've been buddies and friends since high school, and they're going, you know, now the money's coming in, it's the whole mentality changes with money comes involved.
Well, that's true.
And he decided he would rather have, at that point we added a person, so there were six people in the band, so he thought he would like to have six-sixths of the money instead of one-sixth.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And, which a lot of lead singers have tried and failed. I don't know of any lead singer that's really, well, I do a few, but they're writers and performers all combined, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And, but you know, we took it as an insult, and things got worse, and he was, you know, it was just not a good thing.
Well, the interesting thing was that, you know, he was a lead singer, but you guys had a few people that sang. It wasn't like he was the only one that sang.
He wanted, that was another thing that caused the problem in the very beginning. The original band had Rodney Cox on guitar, and Kenny Fulsick on keyboards. Well, Rod sang, I sang, John Persh sang. We all sang songs on the first album, first couple albums.
Yeah.
And he decided he wanted to be the only singer in the band, and he wanted to make all the money. So that broke up.
Wow.
And we stopped working from 75 to 80 because it was when all the dance music came in, Saturday Night Live and stuff like that, and the concerts sort of dwindled away at that point in time, but classic rock radio came in, and the 80, they started playing all the old material, songs from all the groups,
right.
From the late 60s, and so the concert requests started coming in, and so we started traveling and performing again, and we went through quite a few member changes and stuff, but the way the band is now, we've all been together for a long, long, long time. And Pete works, lead singer, he retired for about 10 years, and then he decided he wanted to do it again, and He's with a group called Classic Rock All Stars.
Oh, okay, that's right. Yeah, in fact.
And
yes.
So,
yeah, he was actually on the program.
We just continued on as Rare Earth, and we've been doing it constantly still to this day, you know.
Now, wasn't there some kind of court argument about the name Rare Earth for the rights to it?
Mm-hmm. And we won.
Yeah.
You lost.
So, I mean, if it had gone the other way, then you wouldn't be able to be touring as Rare Earth.
Nope.
You have to be a Classic All-Star or something.
No, it would still be Rare Earth. He was trying to get the name.
Yeah, no, I understand that. I understand.
We were a corporation.
Uh-huh.
The corporation owned the name.
I see.
And so there was more of us in the corporation and the band than just him, so we won the case.
Yeah. Now, Gil, if Peter ever called you and said, hey, you know, I'd love to go on tour together, let's see if we can reunite, would you ever bury the hatchet and do it?
No, he called me about 15 years ago. I was about 17 years. Well, let's see, it was early 90s. And haven't heard from him in a long time. And I got the message on my phone, and he didn't say anything except, hey, Gil, it's Pete. I'd like to talk to you. I got some ideas where we can make some good money. Give me a call. And he hung up. He didn't bother asking me how I was, how my daughter was, how my wife was, anything.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's been a long time since we talked. Nothing like that. So I just never called him back. I could tell he was still got money as his god, you know.
Yeah, it's not like he's money motivated. Yeah.
Yeah, he's all he thought about was the dollar bill instead of people, you know.
Mm.
So that's the deal with him.
Now, I have
nothing against him. I mean, bless him. I hope he does well with whatever he does. But you know, he didn't care anything about cutting the throats of five other families, you know.
Yeah.
Trying to anyway. So there was no way we were ever going to get back with him.
Hmm. Can you believe that you'd be touring, you know, 30, 40 years after all this came out?
Absolutely not. No way. I mean, I am so thankful and feel so blessed and enjoy it so much more now than ever. I mean, it's just fantastic. I mean, we go out and we play. The people, nobody's even hardly ever mentioned anything about Pete not being there.
Mm-hmm.
And they love the group. They still love the music. They're all smiling. All the baby boomers are out there with big smiles on their face with the nostalgia we're creating for them. And their kids are getting into it, too. So I feel so blessed. I can't believe that we're still doing it, but it's true.
Well, not only are you guys still doing it, but you're actually still putting out music. I have a CD here called Brand New World, which is not too old.
Yeah, we just finished it last summer. I sent it to you.
Yeah, I mean, it's really excellent music. I think. Yeah, it's got.
I'm real proud of that CD, and but we don't have a company throwing in hundreds of thousands of dollars or a million in promotion. You know what I'm saying? And getting airplay. There aren't any radio stations that play classic rock music, new stuff.
Yeah, no, they don't. Yeah, they don't play new stuff.
Matt came out with a new CD. Never heard it once on the radio. And the Eagles, not great album. I bought it and listened to it from Walmart, but never heard a cut on the radio.
Yeah, no. I mean, there's some stuff that, I was listening to this thing, and there's some really good music, and some of it's original stuff. But then, of course, there's a Papa Was a Rolling Stone cover on it, and that's the one that would get the airplay because it's familiar for the classic stations.
Uh huh.
You know,
but
that's not the best song on the album though either.
Yeah, we did that especially for Norman Whitfield because Norman died last year.
Mm-hmm.
And do it like in tribute to him. We always liked the song. Also, it's such a great song, and just decided to put it on there. It's the only cover that we did on this CD. Everything else is new.
A lot of people, they don't even remember the fact that Get Ready was a cover. I mean, people kind of forget the Temptations did it nowadays because when they hear Get Ready, they think of Rare Earth.
Yeah. You know, and a lot of times when you see it played back or something like that, they always say, mention Get Ready. But Temptations, you know, they seem to forget that Rare Earth had a bigger hit on that than the Temps did.
They certainly did. They did, yeah. Now you just mentioned the dichotomy here of trying to put your own stuff out and produce what you really like because you have no restrictions, but it's very difficult to promote. How handy is the internet in terms of getting your music out on Facebook and some of these social networks?
We're working on that and working it, and the CD is available on all of the download places, Amazon and iTunes and CD Baby and so on and so forth. But sales aren't coming in by the thousands like I thought they would. But we're selling a good amount of CDs over the internet through those different outlets.
Well, some of the CDs, like,
and we sell them actually more in live concerts than we do over the internet.
Well, that would make sense. A lot of times the people at live concerts will buy a CD to take with them home. But some of the CDs, like Rare Earth in Concert, is a wonderful CD. If people don't know that. And the very best of Rare Earth as well. I don't know. Yeah. Do you guys get a piece of that still?
Yeah, we still get paid royalties on that stuff. Amazing, isn't it?
It is amazing.
Yeah, I mean, Celebrate's making us a lot of money on royalties. Just the fact it's been on so many ads and so many movies. That the licensing fees and so on and so forth, and the advertising, AT&T had it, and Gatorade had it, and Ford had it. I mean, and every time it hits the air, we get paid. So, and Celebrate was just a phenomenal song for still up there and selling and making us money.
Yeah, and it's still up there and being played too. I mean, a lot of radio stations still play it, and you hear it in clubs sometimes when you're out there at a club.
Oh yeah.
It's cool.
Definitely a great song. I mean, it's funny, we were in the studio one night, walking in the studio. Our times was midnight to 8 in the morning. So we walked in and to record something else, and a couple of the writers for Motown, Nick Zisis and Dino Fakaris, they're two Greek boys, white boys, and they come running out of one of the writing rooms at the studio and said, "Hey, check this song out, see if you like it." And they banged out Celebrate for us on the piano. We liked it so much. I mean, when you hear a song right away and you have that reaction, it's a good chance it'll be a hit. So we went right in the studio, and we didn't record what we went in to record. We went in and recorded Celebrate, and we had it completed by 8 o'clock in the morning, everything.
Wow.
And it turned out to be a great, great record for us.
And still one that I'm sure you enjoy playing when you're on stage.
It's our finale.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the last song we play. We get the audience singing along with us, and singing back to us, and it's just the way we end our show with that tune.
Yeah, well, I was thinking about Ray Monette. He was with you guys for a long time, and I remember he joined the Funk Brothers. Are you guys still friendly?
Oh, he's back with us.
He is? Mm-hmm. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, he realized this is where he belongs.
I didn't realize that he's back. That's cool.
Yeah, yeah. He's been back for almost 2 years now, a year and a half now. He still goes out, and when he's available, when it's available for him to go out and do something with the Funk Brothers, but, you know, a couple of them just passed away just recently, and they're not really doing any traveling too much anymore.
Hmm. And when you guys tour, can they do some of the Funk Brothers music in your tour?
No.
No?
No. No, just for Earth music.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Now, do you do a lot of other cover stuff, or do you do mostly stuff from the CDs, the original Railroad stuff?
We do a mixture. We do, we'll start out with Big John and do Big Brother and Born to Wander, Tobacco Road and Losing You and Get Ready and Celebrate. We do all those tunes. Plus, we do, you know, maybe four of the new ones, too. We'll do Papa and Just Give Me Some Shelter. And Love Is What You Save, and A Game of Love. Mm-hmm. We'll do those tunes also live. And then, of course, people hear them. After our meet and greet at the end of the concert, they'll come up and buy them and have us sign them.
Yeah, no, they're good songs. The new songs, I really like them. So I can see that if you're playing them enough and getting them out there and played, that the kids want to buy them. People are going to want to buy them. I shouldn't say kids, because I'm not a kid. But I assume that you have all different generations at your concerts.
We do, young to old. It's amazing. It's amazing. And the young kids, there's a little faction missing, I guess, probably 18 to 24, 25, that's more into hip-hop and beatbox and rap and all this kind of stuff, which I don't even understand. But we have young ones. My grandkids love the band. I mean, they come to every concert, and they go crazy. And of course, my daughters and friends, and I mean, we get all ages.
Now, your daughters, are either of them a person of music?
No. Mm-mm.
No?
My daughter started teaching her flute, but she wasn't practicing too much, so I said, look, you know, if you want me to teach you, you got to practice. If you're not going to practice, I can't teach you.
But does she have any, is she a creative person? Does she have creative energy?
No. Well, she's a teacher now. She teaches school.
Oh.
But she never really got into the music. She loves it, but I mean, she didn't do anything herself. She played a little flute and she sang a little bit, but never pursued it as a career.
Would that have been a kind of a dream for you to have her on stage with you at some point?
I have had her on stage.
Yeah.
I used to bring her and her girlfriends would come to all the concerts all the time, and I'd get them up on stage singing Celebrate with us almost every time. She loved that.
Now, how about the grandkids?
Grandkids are too young right now.
Yeah. But there's hope. Maybe that they'll want to sing at some point or play music.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. When I will, one of these times, I'll drag him out there on stage and scare the heck out of him.
What's the difference between touring now and touring 30 years ago?
Excuse me. Well, it's drugs are not there anymore. That's one big thing. So we don't have people falling over and passing out on us anymore. And the audience, of course, is older now. There are baby boomers, so it's not young. They're not young kids anymore like we were back then.
Yep. Is it tougher for? Is it tougher for you?
We get more enjoyment out of them. We still get good crowds. Still get good, terrific reactions, standing ovations every time. And the band. I mean, we just love playing. I mean, we get so much fun up there playing. I mean, it just goes right into the audience, and they love it.
So I assume that. I know how I'm in my mid-50s. And I don't have the energy I had when I was in my 20s. Is it the audience and the energy from the audience that kind of drives you guys and gives you adrenaline?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. But I'll tell you what, a few of us are really a whole lot more tired after a concert than we used to be. We're right back to the hotel and right to bed. Yeah. Please let me lay down. But we still put a lot of energy into it and put on the best show we can.
Well, I'm always amazed when I see groups like the Rolling Stones, where Charlie Watts is in his 70s at this point. And,
I can't believe it. I cannot believe them. How they're still doing it.
Yeah.
You know, and Mick Jagger, I mean, he works as hard as he ever did.
Yeah, people don't realize all the energy he expends in a concert. It's unbelievable.
Oh, I can't believe it. It's unbelievable, really. I mean, for a man his age, to be able to put out that much energy is just astounding.
It is, and to keep his joints in such condition that he can dance around and do what he does is amazing to me.
Yeah.
But it's a good time for folks out there who are big Rare Earth fans to. Do you have a website they can go visit?
Sure, rareearth.com.
It's pretty easy. Rareearth.com. Get on there and check it out. And there are incredible stuff that you can buy there, including a brand new World, which is Rare Earth's latest CD. But get them all. Get the concert CD. That's a great set. I like that.
It is. It's still sells like crazy, and everybody just loves that double record set in concert.
It's amazing. It's got everything you guys do, or at least did. I know there's a lot of new stuff that you're probably adding to it since then, but that's just a fantastic CD. I sat and listened to it a few weeks ago, and I was like, wow, it's just so good. It brings you right back to those years.
I don't really listen to the old records that much. We play it and stuff, but as far as physically sitting down and listening to the records, I don't anymore. And I did a little while ago on a few things, and I realized, you know what, doggone, we were a good band, man. Well, I sort of forgot myself.
Well, you were and you still are, but I guess if you were listening to the stuff that you did before, even your original concerts from 30 years ago, How would you compare the music now? I assume you changed it. It's not exactly note for note. I'm sure it's changed in terms of the way you guys changed.
Yeah, well, Ray and I are still with the band, but the three other fellows are different, so it's not exactly what Rare Earth was personality-wise from back then.
Mm-hmm.
But we tried to keep the Rare Earth sound, and we tried to keep the energy up as to be Rare Earth. And I don't really know if that's good or bad because, you know, I don't want to change our style. I like R&B. I like the kind of music that we've recorded and played, so try to keep it that way.
For folks out there, who is now currently in the band besides you and Ray?
It's Floyd Stokes. He's on drums. He's been with me 18 years. And Randy Purgoff on bass guitar. He's been with me 25 years. And Mike Bruner, he's been 13 years on keyboards. And, of course, Ray's been with 34 years, so... I mean, we've all been together a long time, even though it's not the very original band.
Yeah. Well, it's close enough. At least you and Ray are there. So.
Well, Ray is just a phenomenal. I think he's an underrated guitar player. I think he's one of the best in the world. You know, I put him up against anybody.
Mm.
And I'm so glad he's back, you know. And but we never, it was never really... bad feelings or anything when he left. I mean, he wanted to make a change. He got arthritis in his wrist, and he had a hard time playing for an hour and a half, 2 hours straight, playing solos and every song all the way through. And he had to get on steroids and prednisone and different stuff just to enable him to play. So with the Funk Brothers, all he had to do was sit down. He didn't have to jump around, and he plays chords to the songs and backing up different singers and stuff like that.
Right.
But he loves being in the band. You know, he gets a lot more attention. But he's got his wrist corrected now. He's taking medication all the time so he can play again. And that was the main reason he left. He said he just could not play that hard for 2 hours straight.
Well, I'm glad he's feeling better. That's a good thing. Are you still writing new material and recording things? And
Yeah. We're still plugging away at it. Well, hopefully we'll have another one complete, but, you know, just wondering, you know, I mean, it takes a lot of time, effort, and to do it, and it's just wondering how, you know, CDs won't even be around very much longer. I mean, it'll all be downloaded.
That's what it seems like at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love my CDs. I loved my records even more, and I kind of miss records. I keep... a lot of the records. I have Rare Earth records at home, and I enjoy them.
We've got a brand new DVD of a show that we just did up here. Came out really great. It's in action, a whole show of us. And in that show, we do all the songs I told you about.
Oh, cool. That's available now on the website?
No, not yet. Oh. We're just finishing it, and they're doing final edits on it. And cool. It should be ready within 30 days.
Well, when it comes out, make sure we get one so we can review it and promote it for you.
Yeah, I definitely will. Hold on, let me jot down your address again. So.
Well, yeah, I'm not going to give that on the air, but I'll talk to you when we're done. Because I don't want to.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not going to put that on the air.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, it wouldn't be a good idea. We've got a million people listening to this right now, and I don't really want them all having my phone number and my address.
I just sort of forgot we were on an interview.
Yeah. Well, it's a good thing that they do. That's what I try to do. I try to kind of have a conversation with people and make it so that they're comfortable. That's a good thing. I want to send everybody over to rareearth.com, and that's rareearth.com. And you can check out Gil and the group and some of the stuff they're up to, and go and buy the stuff that they're selling because you know you love the music. Keep it alive. Thanks so much for being on the program, Gil.
Okay, Mark. Well, thanks for having me. I enjoyed it.
Thanks.